This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. Today, we're going to talk about something very important is healing, and not only healing, but what happens if you aren't healed? You know, a lot of people ask that question, and there are a lot of people who actually reject the concept of believing God for healing because of that. Well, we're going to talk to a man, a longtime friend of mine, who wrote a book about it, and then he died. You can't miss our conversation today with Glenn Berteau. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Well, welcome back and welcome to you, Glenn. I'm so glad to talk to you. We've been friends for a long, long time. But you have a story that's so incredible that I want to jump into it, and we will do our reminiscing at the end of the podcast if we have time. But you wrote a book called Why Am I Not Healed When God Promised? Yeah. And it was on its way to the printer, or maybe at the printer, and then you died. And the publisher held up the printing, which I can understand being a publisher myself. But why am I not healed when God promised and then you died, but yet you're here, I'm talking to you. What happened?
Well, Steve, what happened, I wrote a book. That was the last book I wrote, was Why Am I Not Healed? I felt like I needed to deal with the question. Any pastor or anybody listening in the church, there's always people that come to our church that are sick. There's always people that are ill. There's always people that have some issues in their life, and they have relatives that are at home. And they have prolonged areas. My daughter has had rheumatoid arthritis since she's 15 years of age, and almost 30 years she's suffered. So there's been suffering that we have walked through. So it's not a matter of writing something and not experiencing it. We have walked through it. I've walked through having cardiac arrest, a heart attack. I've got 5 stents in my heart. I've had pulmonary embolism, bleeding inside internally and things like this where I could have died maybe 6 or 7 times. And I'm saying, but other people, then things don't happen. Maybe they die, they pass. And it's confusing in the church where we're saying God's a healer, but why did Bobby die? Why did Billy die? And I said, well, and it's more than just faith, because we think, well, you just didn't have the faith. Well, in the book there's 17 hindrances to healing. There's more than just not having faith. There's other areas that can totally remove you from God really doing a miracle in your life. But in the situation that you're saying, I wrote the book, and then I died. I had a cardiac arrest. And they tried to bring me back 8 times, and I went back. I died 8 times. And 8 in the Bible, numbers mean something in the Bible. 8 means resurrection, means new birth, means new beginning, which is kind of ironic being 8 times. And I was at the church when it happened. I preached on a Sunday. And as I preached on Sunday, I'm running around on the stage. I'm shouting. I'm using all the energy I have. And then on Monday, I'm dead.
Well, you know, because I wanted to jump into this, I didn't adequately introduce you, but you are the pastor of a church in Modesto, California called The House.
Yeah.
8,000 members. You're doing a great job there. Everything's going well. You're jumping around on the stage. And then you died, and because we're friends, and we've been friends for more than 40 years, that's over half our life, by the way, right?
It's a long time.
A long time. I know a little bit of your story, and I know that you not only had cardiac arrest and died and came back 8 times, but you've also been through cancer. It's an incredible story. And the podcast can't be long. You know, it probably takes several hours to unpack the whole story, but I want you to just briefly say what happened, and then the insight that I know that you have between death, the spirit of death, and being dead.
Well, what happened is, Steve, here's the one thing that I think people need to understand, is when we say you're not guaranteed tomorrow, I think some people take that as a threat. Oh, you're trying to scare me into getting my life right or getting saved or so forth. And it's so true, because tomorrow is the devil's favorite word. Today is God's favorite word. Deal with today as the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Tomorrow, devil wants you to put it off. But I am, Steve, I'm alive on Sunday, running around on the stage. On Monday, I die. I have a cardiac arrest. They bring me to the hospital. I died the eighth time in the hospital. They left me there and said he's totally brain dead because it was over 45 minutes before I get to the hospital, before I had the proper kind of oxygen. So they didn't want to work on me and didn't want to do anything at all. And they just left me in a room and basically just said that he's dead. There's no use to helping him. And if we do help him, he's going to have brain damage and he's not going to be able to function at all. So it was the prayers of people and that were praying. And I think what you were saying, too, is so long, it'd be tough to get everything in on this to tell it all, Steve. But there's a difference between death and dead. You hear what I just said? Death and dead are two different words. Dead is the grave. Death is a spirit. So the situations that are going on in our country today, the suicides, the turmoil, the hate, the division, the disunity, all of this is a spirit of death is what it is. That's the root area of it. It's not like your color is different than me. You believe you have a different opinion than me. Why do you think we're at odds with each other? There's a spirit, a demonic spirit of death that wants to destroy and wants to separate and is doing a pretty good job right now. But death is different than dead. Death is a spirit. You can deal with a spirit. The Bible talks about, you know, there's a spirit of infirmity. Infirmity is a spirit. So in this, I wonder at times if we're not going to the root of dealing with some of the things that we have. We're dealing with the surfaces or symptoms, but we're not going to the root of it. And the root of it is the devil is just trying to basically destroy you. He, as a Christian, he doesn't even want you alive. If you're doing anything for him, you're going to be attacked. And there's just been a constant attack in this thing, which my whole life has been to populate heaven and depopulate hell is what I'm going to do. And devil's just going to have to just too bad if you don't like it. But yeah, Steve, I died eight times and I was not to be to come back. And they basically said, you're too far gone. The doctors even told my wife and said that he's not dead yet, but he's going to die tonight. They called my family back up again 12 hours later after they told him to go home and say, come say goodbye to him. I had zero chance to live. My kidneys were not working, bladder's not working, heart's not working, lungs working. They eventually put me on a ventilator just because I think there was just so many people in the emergency room because my whole church was, it was a prayer night and they all came over, flooded the place. And I think they said, well, I think we may need to do something here and at least try. But they put me in the emergency room, just left me there, and I was number 8 or 9 on their list to help because I was so far gone, they felt they could save other people's lives. And they just started hooking me up with whatever. And I was on a ventilator. They paralyzed me, put me in a coma, and just keeping my body alive. But nothing was working. My kidneys were not working. Bladder was not working. And we needed a miracle. We needed a resurrection. It was a resurrection of what we needed. And what happened is we had people that were praying. And what they prayed, why you mentioned death, Steve, is because that was the area they went against. They said it's a spirit of death, and it's trying to take his life. And it's just like Lazarus. Lazarus, you know, oh, he's dead, he stinks, so forth. And if you would have been here, you could have saved life. And Jesus was like, no, he's just sick. No, it's not there. Because, see, if you go into death, if you go into and you die, and you go to the grave, then you get judged. Lazarus couldn't have come back if he was judged. He's going to heaven or hell. You get judged. And so he was not judged yet.
There's a scripture that says, and then the judgment.
Explain that. It's appointed unto man once to die, the Bible says, and then the judgment. And that's what I asked, Steve. I asked, well, how was I able to come back? I said, doesn't the Bible say it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment? And God says, yeah. He said, how long is then?
How long is then?
How long is then? I don't know how long then is. I mean, Lazarus was 4 days for his then. How long is then? I don't know how long then is. So what I'm saying is to all of us here, there is a period of time where you can speak death away before you get to dead. And there's an area. But God says the only way you can do that is to have authority. And that's what Jesus spoke to people, and he had authority. The things he did, it was because of the authority that he had. And just we see that in the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts where the demon says, you know, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And listen, church, God says most of the people are who he uses, which means that church is okay, don't give, don't serve, I'm not active, I'm not participating, I'm not involved, I'm not doing something. You don't realize there's favor that you get when you do this and God begins to bring that favor back. But you and I need to understand that in this time that you're believing, or you know the devil says that you don't have any authority at all, is because you have to go through some wars to get this authority. It's earned. Anointing is not earned. Anointing, you just have an anointing to break yokes. You don't have to be that strong to break yokes. That's the anointing breaks yokes. But authority is something where you have to go through something. You're going to have to go through some pain. You're going to have to go through a general that has all these stripes and all these medals. He didn't get that by not doing anything, just by passing a test. He went to war. He fought battles. He may have been injured. And he's going to get some stripes. And when he walks in a room, you kind of stand up and saying, this man has been through something. Well, when the devil realizes that you and I have been through something and we didn't quit, we didn't give up, and we have a handful of bullets called scriptures, and we have those things in our hand and we're ready to throw those things, then the devil realizes, I'll test you, but I know I'm not going to win this battle. And in my situation needs to encourage everyone listening right now that you need to continue to grow, continue to stay committed. I'm telling you right now, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You never know. And if you did die today, where would you be? That's the thing that's scary. But you need to continue in your growth, in your commitment to God, His church, and what are you contributing and what are you giving? You know what God said after I came back, Steve, what He said to me? He said, Glenn, He said, success in life is not what you've done. It's what you've left undone. I'm at a place right now where I'm asking God, what is left that I need to do to accomplish before I go home? Because I don't want to go home to God and He shows me all these other things that I could have accomplished, but I didn't do it because I was lazy. I wasn't committed or focused. He shows me this and I'm saying, I could have done all that. He said, yeah, you just didn't do it. You didn't want to do it. And so I'm realizing that God can take something bad, make it worse, and call it a promotion.
That's an interesting way to put it. And you've had such a long and productive career as a pastor. And as I said earlier, we've known each other 40 years. We were on the staff at the same mega church in Orlando. I was just starting Charisma back then and knew your ministry. And now you've got, you know, had a successful ministry over the years, including building this church, 8,000 members. But you're really known for evangelism. You even refer to it yourself. In fact, we published two books. I have them right here. Christianity Light, More of Me, Less of God, Stop Drinking a Watered-Down Gospel. Boy, how relevant is that? And we did this a number of years ago. I don't remember what year we did it. But it's on our shop.charismamag.com website if anybody wants to go on our website and buy it. And, of course, it's available on Amazon and all those. And this one, Christianity to Go. You can't share the good news until you are the good news. The church doesn't start until you leave the building. So I thought, in fact, I want to get some of the, I'm going to talk to you about it later, but I want to get some of this good material online. We need to get this out. But can you just kind of sum up your view or your passion for evangelism? And someone told me, is this possible? 140,000 people saved?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How's that possible?
Well,
how many people are there in Modesto?
220,000.
Oh.
225,000 there. So we got about half our city saved. And but people came into different things that we did. I mean, we did one event for 28 days and had 33,000, 40,000 in that one period of time. When Pensacola back in the day was having their thing with Steve Hill and all that, and we all went to that in Pensacola, and then it stopped. And a couple months later, when it stopped, it moved to our church as far as that evangelistic spirit. It was in a different way. It wasn't, but we had, it wasn't just salvation, though, Steve. There were people, gang members coming, dropping their rags at the altar. Occultic symbols, ninja stuff. There was cigarettes, drugs, cocaine. It was a deliverance thing that was unbelievable, and people were sitting outside of our church at 3 p.m. to try to get in for 7:00. It was that same type thing. And I went 28 nights and we had over 33,000 to 40,000 documented. I got them on stack. We could stack it up and you know, the numbers there. And then I stopped it. The reason I stopped it is because God was saying, what are you going for, the world's record or whatever on this thing? He said, get the people in church. That's fine to get saved. Get them in church. Get them. They need to become disciples. I sent out stacks, thousands of cards to all the churches in our city and said, I can't follow up on these people. Here's some cards. And so all of our churches, and that, of course, that brought unity, and all our churches come together. But see, in our church, and if you're walking out of our church, it says you're now entering the harvest field on every exit there is. Because see, we're not the lights of the church. We're the lights of the world. So we're going to sing like crazy. We're going to dance around. We're going to clap. And as soon as we get out, we act like we don't even know God. And the place we need to show where we know God is to get out of the building. We got to do this. Jesus didn't do much. He didn't do many miracles in a church. He didn't really go preach much in a church. Everything was outside. And if we want to follow what Christ did, you know, if Jesus wanted in a church there, he didn't die.
Or a synagogue in his day.
Exactly. He didn't die between two candles in a cathedral. It was two thieves on the backside of town. He died out in the world where they could see where he died. They could see what he did for them and see his sacrifice for what he did. And so I'm just saying, I was a person, Steve, well, somebody had to save me playing college football and share with me years before I really understood, because I didn't know God. I was a Mardi Gras. I was a Mardi Gras Catholic, going to Mardi Gras every year in New Orleans. And I had to have somebody share with me, plant seeds in me, for the Holy Spirit to work on. If you don't plant the seed, you're saying, well, I don't know. They look at their face. Forget about their face. It's a spirit that it's a seed that goes in their heart and goes in their soul. And then the Holy Spirit then recalls. That's what the Holy Spirit does, recalls things that are truth. So I need to speak the truth and give them the truth. I don't care what their response would be, but if I plant that truth, the Holy Spirit then can begin to work on them. And so we just have people in our church. We ask, can I pray with you about something? 60 to 70% will say yes no matter where you go. Especially nowadays, could be even higher. So if I'm in a restaurant, I was in a Chili's the other day. I'm in a Chili's, guys are running around. He comes to me, Steve, and he goes, can I take your order? I said, yeah. I said, can you bring me some water here? And I said, let me ask you something. I said, can I pray with you about something? He goes, oh, wow. Yeah. Can I come back? I said, yeah. So he said, let me check on the table. Comes back, kneels down at my table, and he says, I just found out my mom about 5 days ago was diagnosed with cancer. Could you pray for her? And he puts his head down on at Chili's. And I pray with the young man. I said, look, I said, and then you need to come to church. Here's our church, the house, and I want you to come to it and want you to visit. And I said, and do this. So we ask and we take the initiative, in a sense, to share with people. And our whole church does this because we are the lights of the world. This is who we are. And this is what Jesus started pushing the disciples. Come on, guys. I'm going to have to leave then to get you to be evangelists, because you're not going to be evangelists with me around. And then, of course, they went out and they duplicated whatever Jesus did. But, you know, we have to be more. We can't sit back. We're in a society right now where sin marches down the street. Sin is in movies all over the place. It's on the news. It's everything in the world, where the devil used to be kind of hidden on this thing. Now we're in a closet. Now we're hiding. We don't do anything. We seem powerless. We have our churches here and things going on in our church. But what happens outside the church? We're like Saul Church. We're Saul Assembly of God. We're Saul Baptist Church. We're Saul whatever. Meaning we all dressed up for battle in the camp. But as soon as a giant shows up, then we go run. We don't do anything to him. We don't kill him. So we need some Davids here with a backbone. We need some 17-year-olds that majored in slingshot in high school that will go out and take on a giant that has God's power on their life to go ahead and see a society run. So one, so we need to go ahead and to be more active in this thing. And I'm saying the God that saved me and saved you, Steve, if somebody didn't tell me, I'd have been lost and probably been dead by now the way my life was going. But thank God somebody had a backbone. We need some backbones to stand up and to share. You say, well, I don't know what to share. What did God do in your life? How did he save you? Well, I didn't do much. Well, then good. Or I've been saved all my life. You got a better testimony than me because you never had to search. You never had to look. You always have known. I said, that's positive. That's good. Share that story there. You got more people messed up out there that need Jesus, and there's nothing else going to help them. So they turn to drugs. They turn to sex. They turn to pornography. They turn to everything in the world instead of turning to the Lord. Are they maybe pushing their agenda more than us, pushing their propaganda more than us, pushing their advertising more than us? Absolutely. Because as a church, we just sit quiet. And so what we do in a church, we build in bigger stages and we have smaller altars.
Wow, that's strong. And, you know, I turn these podcasts into articles and I'm sitting here thinking, how in the world am I going to put this in one article? Maybe I'll do several articles because you covered a bunch of topics. And I'm so glad that you're in the studio today visiting our city, but maybe we can do some other podcast later by phone, which is how I do a lot. I did Mario Murillo yesterday, and I so appreciate you coming. In other settings, of course, I've shared my story. My father was a minister. I was born on Wednesday. I'm almost certain I was in church on Sunday. But, you know, as a teenager, needing to find my own way, I searched around, but I really knew the truth, and I finally came back. And we all have to do that no matter what our story is. And you have an amazing story. You're an amazing person. Glad to have been your friend all these years. And I thank you for being on my podcast. I'm going to just say to my listeners and to those who are viewing today on Facebook Live that we need to get this story out. What Glenn said is so powerful. Check out his books, the two that I mentioned, and also go on Amazon and just put in Glenn Berteaux and see the books that pop up. I think that you'll be blessed if you do that. And thank you again, Glenn, for being on my podcast. And thank you to my listeners for tuning into the Strang Report podcast. Tune in again tomorrow for another episode on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.